Now, this is supposed to be a terrible running back class, but you can guarantee that there's going to be at least three, if not four, players that are fantasy relevant the second they hit the field. Stick around and find out which ones you need to know heading into the rookie season to find out who you should be drafting in those rookie drafts. Hello and welcome to the Fantasy Sanctuary. That is right, we are back with a friend of the show. I don't know how many times this has been now, Dave. I think maybe four, maybe five. We'll just call you friend of the show. How are you doing?
Not too bad. I think we'll say more appearances than there are good running backs in this class. Let's say that.
Coming out fire in the hot. So let's start with this class then. You know, it feels like every person you hear, read, wants to slate how bad this class is. What do you think of it as a whole, as a total entity?
You know, it's probably one of the more underwhelming that I can remember in, you know, the last 8 or 9 years that I've been really closely following running back classes, especially for fantasy purposes. But that being said, the running back position is a volume dependent position. If you're given volume, you're going to have fantasy points. It just depends on what you're going to be able to do, what you're going to be able to handle for a workload, how your body holds up. But that being said, you know, there's a lot of injuries in the NFL. There's going to be opportunity here, and there's going to be a couple of players here that we're not expecting, like you said off the top, that are going to land themselves in some favorable situations, and it just depends how efficient they can be in those opportunities. And I think there will be a couple surprises, like you said, but still relatively underwhelming. But there are a couple ones that I think we should be getting excited about too. So let's not all like talk about it like a rain on the parade or anything either.
Yeah, I think for me, I probably differ slightly to most people's opinion on it. It feels like everybody's just saying it's bad. For me, I think there's no stud. There's probably no kind of tier two back, but I feel that there's about eight tier three backs that I feel like, you know, aren't going to be superstars, aren't going to be landing spot kind of irrelevant as such. I think, but there's about eight guys that if they land in a good situation can be at least a 1B, if not potentially a 1A back in a 60-40 split, should we say, which I feel like that's probably more than most classes. There's certainly more in that third tier in this class than there was in the last two. The problem is that there's no Bijan Robinson, there's no Jamal Gibbs, there's no Breece Hall, there's no like elite talent for people to get excited about.
Yeah, I think I'd say you're more optimistic than I am. That being said, I mean, like that's, I don't think, I'm not going to sit here and like crap on these players either. These are like, there's some really impressive athletes. There's some really, like, I think some of those players that I think we're going to differ on is that I think they're good running backs. They're good players. I think they see the hole well. They're efficient behind the line and they find the gap they're supposed to meet. Now, I'm just not sure how that's going to translate to a fantasy thing. So I think I'm trying to stick mostly to fantasy, but if we're just talking about like pure NFL players, I think I would agree that would say maybe more eight running backs I think are really good runners. I'm just not sure how that's going to pay off for fantasy, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. And so when you're kind of analyzing these running backs, when you're looking at them for fantasy, what's your process to kind of break it down? What are the key stats you're looking for and that sort of things?
So I really care about volume, because if you look at all the studs that we already said, isn't necessarily a stud in this class, but all of the studs like the Zeke's, the Bijans, I mean, the CMCs, all of those players, they handled the workload in college. Most of them. Now, you know, you have the Achans and the Gibbs's that came out last class, and they're a little bit different. I would categorize them as a different type of player. But if we're talking about the true elite, the typical running back that we all love, they did it in college first. They didn't have this weak workload and then just come to the NFL. So I really care about volume, the type of volume. Did they handle the workload in college? And then how they were receiving the ball. And I don't look at any one particular stat, but I do care about like per game stats. So as far as rush attempts and like, or just opportunities per game, which is, you know, rush attempts plus receptions, and then like the percentage of their backfield touches they're getting. And then I care about, you know, if they can miss, force miss tackles, you know, create longer runs. And then I do care about size and athleticism, but there's like, I've toned that down a lot more over the years because I think this time and time again, volume is telling you what these players can do for an extended period of time. Now, 2 to 3 game span, any of these running backs we're talking about could be league winners, like a fantasy playoffs league winner if they fell into the right situation. But that's not what I'm trying to do right now. I'm trying to see like who can I fill into my RB2 slots, my RB1 slots, or my flex positions. And that's kind of how I'm trying to go about it. And I categorize them based on, you know, what kind of workload they're doing. Are they pass catchers? Can they create the big play? And then are they efficient at creating their own type of extra yards and stuff like along those lines? That's kind of how I go about it.
And are you looking at kind of key thresholds that they need to clear for you to fit into those buckets? Or is it more a case of kind of grading on a scale and looking at, okay, they're, you know, they've hit this rough point rather than a clear cutoff?
So it's an arbitrary threshold. I love seeing someone who gets 20 touches a game. If you get like 20 touches in a game in a season or 20 touches per game for a season or multiple seasons, that's going to tell me that, hey, you can be the 1A in a backfield no matter what landing spot or who your competition is. I think you can show you can handle it, because if you there, it, like, I know everyone wants to talk about how there was that the mythical Georgia backfield where, hey, they recruited you with Sony Michel, Nick Chubb, and all DeAndre Swift, all those running backs, and the selling point was, we won't beat you up, for that way you can be fresh in the NFL. Well, I'm sorry, you can't just say that across the board everywhere. Now, there, if you don't do it in college, you're not most likely not going to do it in the NFL. That being said, I'm wishy-washy on my thresholds. So like I see 18 opportunities per game versus 20, I'm not going to lose my cool, but I'm going to start moving you towards a place. So like, I think last year's class really taught me something, and I was out ahead of it. I knew when we talked about it, I was like, hey, I can't believe how much I like Jahmyr Gibbs and Devon Achane based on how I typically go about running backs, because what they did is they really prototyped as a weapon. They were a true weapon. I just don't quite, there's maybe a running back that people might argue in this class that's kind of like that, or one or two. I just don't think they quite meet the same thresholds that those type of players do. So I do care about thresholds, but it's not like a hard set line. It's more like, all right, you're starting to check 2 or 3 stats in this category that I'm starting to get excited about, and I'm going to start moving you like up a tier within that category, if that makes sense.
No, it makes complete sense. Well, let's dive into some running backs. We're going to start with, we're working through these in order of DLF March ADP. So the running back one in that ADP is Trey Benson out of Florida State, 6'1", 223, potentially one of the few backs in this class that could be classed as a 3-down back. Are you a Benson fan?
I think he's a weapon. I think he's the closest type of player that we can to that Jahmyr Gibbs type of a player. I don't think he, so I think I'm a fan, and I think I'm definitely, he'd be one of my top couple backs in this class. I just don't think he quite reaches the same tier that a Gibbs does as a weapon, but I think he really is electric. I think he can make the big play, can score touchdowns. I'm not sure if he's like quite one of those, like, I don't think he reaches the CMC level of like, oh my God, he's going to be featured as a run, like as a, just a touchdown score in the red zone. But I think he can create some mismatches and is going to, and could be a very, very productive fantasy back. I think he most likely is an RB2 for fantasy purposes in the right situation, but you never know how it goes as far as opportunity goes. Depth chart, all that stuff is out of our realm, but I think he is, I'm excited about him because, and I think his biggest knock for Trey Benson is I just think he averaged like 11.9 rush times game for me. And that's just not going to get me there. And yeah, he did have 20 catches last season, but he's just a tick under that where I'm truly excited about him. But I think he's a very good player. He's, you know, got the athleticism and he's got the decent size. And he was very efficient when he does touch the ball. And I think ideally I would love to get him in the middle of second rounds in rookie drafts, but in this class, you're not going to do that. He's probably going to go in the late first round of rookie drafts. So that's just how this class is probably going to shake out. But yeah, I think I would say I'm a Trey Benson fan. I just not, as high as I, you know, truly would love to see of the first running back we're going to talk about in a class. How about you?
Yeah, pretty much. I like him. I think there's a, you know, he does well. As you said, he's a smooth athlete. He's a smooth runner. He's got good vision. I think he can basically run any type of run scheme, whether that be power, zone, gap, anything like that. And I think that we're seeing, you know, it's not the NFL of the 90s where this is an outside zone running team. This is a, you know, a power trap team, or this runs a lot of power counter. It's now most teams are running pretty much everything. And I think that ability to be scheme versatile is going to be a real benefit to Benson. He contributes in the pass game. I don't know if I can say that he's a weapon in the pass game, but he's solid enough. I have a real question mark about his contact balance, his poor pad level. He runs too upright. He doesn't initiate contact very well. And quite often you'll see, you know, he's not one of these backs that will hit contact and fall forward in the tackle and gain that extra kind of 2 yards. He's quite often stood up by linebackers, which is a little bit concerning for a guy who's got decent bulk, you know, 220 pounds. He's not a light guy, but he's just kind of solid, reliable. I think he's probably going to end up being my RB1 in this class. The concern is that if we're looking at something like my rookie model, so he's a 77th percentile back in my rookie model, which, to give you an idea, Devon Achane was a 77th percentile last year, and he would have been the RB4 last year. So we're talking about a guy who's potentially the RB1 in this class would have been the RB4 last year. And I think that probably shows where we're at on this class overall.
Yeah, and I will say the benefit that Trey Benson does shows, I think he can be a fantasy viable running back on a limited touches. I think if he was to get 12 touches per game, like as a 1B or like a totally 50-50 split in the NFL, I think he can still be fantasy viable. And I think that is what people have to get through your head is like, hey, like we're not necessarily saying that he's going to be the next difference maker on your roster, but he's going to have some nice games where he's going to catch some balls. He's going to score a touchdown. And he's going to rack up 15 fantasy points and be okay in your RB2 slot. I think that's the type of player we're looking at here. And then if a team falls in love with him and he really blossoms to the next level, sure. Well, like he could definitely surpass. I'm not saying he can't, but I think that's just a realistic outlook.
Yeah. And let's be honest, in Dynasty right now, I've got 5 running backs that I feel comfortable as like an RB1. And then I've got a tier of, okay, there's a couple of tiers, but there's about 20 players that I'd almost class as RB2s. And I feel like Trey Benson's going to fall into that tier of like 20 guys. And how many actual true workhorse difference makers do we have in fantasy right now? It's not many.
Yeah, and I would love to sit here and talk to you about overall running back and fantasy strategy because I got excited when you said that. But no, I think I agree. I think that people just don't realize how year to year the running back position, and then we're going to sit here and we're talking about a guy's whole NFL career, we're talking about rookies, is very hard to do. So I think what we're really saying is that, yeah, I think he's going to do well on little touches. He's going to be an efficient player, and that's what you like to see. I think he's going to be fun to watch, and yeah, I'm definitely not upset if Trey Benson's going to be on my dynasty squads.
Yeah, it's just going to come down to value, as you said earlier. I think second round pick, I'm delighted. Back into the first feels a little bit rich for me. Before we move on and talk about another back, though, we are inching ever closer to 1,800 subscribers. So hit that little subscribe button down below and you will get all the gorgeous content that is coming up. We have got tight end previews, sleepers, and of course, best ball season is just around the corner. The next back we're going to talk about is Jonathan Brooks, 6 foot, 207 pounds, out of Texas. Young, elite last season after spending 2 years tucked behind some pretty elite backs in Bijan Robinson, Roschon Johnson. But we've also got to add in, obviously, got that ACL injury at the back end of last year. Potentially could be a redshirt year this year. I love watching Jonathan Brooks. I think he's one cut runner, that vision. I think he could be a 3-down back at the next level. Are you as high on Brooks potentially as I am?
I think we're just going to, I would tweak it. I agree with everything you said. First, that ACL was just killer, just freaking killer. The big injury, it was just killer. But I think he profiles as a player who will not be taken off the field. Like, so I think he has the receiving chops that he can play on third down. I think he can play on first and second down. I think he can score from inside the five. And I think but I don't think he's excels at any of those positions. Like, I don't think he's a elite in any of those three on any of those three downs or any of those situations. I just think he can do it all. So I think he kind of profiles as more of a 60% opportunity share guy. So as the 1A in a bat, like a true 1A, not like a, just a, like the one, but I think he could be the lead of a backfield where the guy comes in on third down. But if he on passing plays, he's not getting taken off the field. I'm excited. I really think he's a really good player, and his per game numbers don't quite, especially for his final season, don't match up because he did miss the few games there at the end after the injury. But he was getting 20 rush attempts per game after he finally emerged as a starter over CJ Baxter and before the injury. So he was really, 50% of his team shares rush attempts. Those are we're getting close to the things that, those are things that I start to get excited about. You're telling me you're averaging over 20 touches a game. You're starting to get, 50% of your team's opportunities here. You 10 double digit touchdowns, 2.5 catches per game. I'm getting excited about that type of player. And then I look, he's a little bit smaller than I would have liked. That he's at 205 pounds. And I think that's what really makes me pause and think that's why I don't think he's truly elite on any of those downs. And that it's going to hold him back from being a true dominant fantasy player. But, he makes people miss. He can big chunk plays. Those are all types of things I love to see my running backs, and he's not a weakness in any position. Now, I don't know about necessarily, I wasn't sitting there looking at his run block or his pass block or anything like that, but I'm excited about him. And I think just the injury just kind of really hurts is how excited I can get. That's the problem.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, as you said, he can kind of tick every box. Okay, he's not elite in probably any of them, but he ticks every box you would want from him. The one concern I've got is I think he's probably, we talked about Benson being scheme versatile. Jonathan Brooks is best as a one-cut runner in outside zone scheme. If you think back to, I keep saying Arian Foster, but I watch him and I just see Arian Foster, because I think if you could have him in that sort of scheme, that sort of zone offense, he could be phenomenal. I'm not saying he can't do it in other types of run play, but I just didn't see a huge amount. And I don't know if his style matches itself to that. Now, a big question is going to be, I think, how people are willing to approach him come rookie season. Because for me, I'm quite happy spending second round draft capital on a guy that I'm potentially not going to use at all in his rookie season. I would happily spend an early to mid second round pick on a back that I think is as good as Jonathan Brooks could be, who's going to sit out his entire rookie season. But I don't know if the majority of people are. And that could mean that Jonathan Brooks falls down in rookie drafts, which means he could be a phenomenal value. Or maybe I'm getting a little bit too excited there, Dave.
No, he's a very good player. I think that's how you have to, it is kind of a unique situation here because he only got to showcase for the one real true season because he's behind Roshan and Jahmyr Gibbs, Bijan. I haven't been in a rookie draft yet where I've been hovering over him. I think I would, a lot of my rookie running backs, I have to really think, hey, do I'd rather just go get an older running back? Do I want to take that draft capital and go get a running back that people are scared about because he's 29, 30 years, like Derrick Henry is, I think, a classic example. Do I want to sit there and wait for a whole year? And I think Derrick Henry's value has gone up since he signed, but that's kind of like, hey, do I want the production now? And to be honest, I'm not sure if there's another running back that's in this class is going, I don't think we can sit here and say that besides Benson, maybe, I don't think, without learning landing spot, I don't think there's a running back that I can confidently say that is going to provide much more immediate value than while Jonathan Brooks is sitting there not getting dinged for not playing. Some of these running backs, when we're going to be excited about them rookie season, we're going to be drafting them, we're going to be on our teams, we're going to have all these high hopes for them. And then when they're seeing 5 to 8 touches a game, that's going to really cripple their value once we fantasy points are actually getting scored in, and we're not just talking this hypothetical value that everyone likes to talk about. So Jonathan Brooks is a little insulated in that, that he's not going to be playing, or he's, people are going to have the excuse of, well, he's not all the way back from his injury yet. So
yeah,
on a rebuilding team where I'm not looking to score points, Jonathan Brooks is a great landing spot. I think that's also, you have to ask yourself, well, what am I trying to do when I'm making this pick? Am I holding on to him so he might score points towards the end of his rookie season? Or am I just trying to just gain value in my roster? I think Jonathan Brooks is a perfect example of, if I'm not contending, no problem hitting click in the second round of Jonathan Brooks. Because I think he's going to be, he'll be an asset when he does get on the field.
Yeah, and I think you need to, if you are drafting Jonathan Brooks, you need to at least say, I am rostering him into next offseason at the minimum. Because I think there is a world where, you know, he sits time out, he maybe doesn't come in and hit the ground running, because we've seen, you know, the ACL injuries, as much as they're 9 months to get back on the field, they're potentially 18 months to 2 years to get fully up and running. And I think there is a chance that he could potentially struggle at the end of this season. You need to be comfortable drafting him and saying, this is a 2025 draft pick, not a 2024 draft pick.
And I know it's a cop-out. People like, will say draft cap with me a cop-out, but the NFL is going to tell us how they feel about Jonathan Brooks too, knowing the injury now. If he's a 6th, 7th round pick in the NFL, that's going to tell us a little bit. That's going to tell us something. Think he's going to be a 6th? But we're going to be told, if a team's taking him other than early round 4, something like, or even earlier. I haven't looked at where people are mocking him or anything like that in mock drafts. But if teams are telling him that they're excited to get him onto their squad and see what he looks like when he's healthy, that's going to tell us also something too.
Yeah. I mean, his current kind of ADP in mock draft database is the 3rd round, 66th pick overall. So yeah, they're expecting him to be an early 3rd round pick, really. The next back we're going to talk about, though, a workhorse out of Michigan. Look, they ran the ball a hell of a lot, and Blake Corum carried the rock plenty. A little bit short, 5'8", but 213 pounds. A little bit older prospect as well, at 23 years old. But as I said, Dave, he carried the rock plenty. Is this a guy that got enough volume for you to be ticking that volume box?
He definitely ran the ball enough, especially his junior season, 20 plus touches, and it dipped a little bit as a senior, but he was a mega TD producer. And what touchdowns are showing me, and it's not necessarily mean that he's going to just, that translates directly to NFL, but it's showing me that college offenses, you need to score in NFL, you need to score to win, and you want your best players touching the ball. And if you're scoring that many touchdowns, you're considered the best player on a team. And, there was a national championship winner. So in the biggest games and the biggest moments, they were looking at him to put the ball in the end zone. And that shows me that he's can be used and counted on as a weapon. So that is something that is what I'm looking at when I say why TDs are important. It's showing me that just how it's a value factor, how a team values you. And, the problem is when you say about volume is then, but he disappoints as far as a pass catcher. I think that's going to be his biggest knock, is that if he's not catching passes at his size, he's not going to be catch passes in the NFL. That's a problem for me. I think the NFL, that's going to ding him in the NFL. And I think that's going to hurt him for fantasy. Whereas I think the NFL coaches are going to love him. I think he's a great runner. I think he's very efficient. When we were talking about earlier, he was very efficient behind the line. I think he makes the right reads. He finds the right hole to do. And he can, when he gets there, he can also accelerate a little bit for some initial burst, but he might get caught from behind or whatever have you. I don't think he has the true home run making ability, but I think he's a 30 to 40% opportunity share guy. And so that's why I'm not ultimately that excited. Now, maybe I'm just being a little negative here. I don't want to, because I think he is efficient. He can, he's kind of a tale of two seasons. His senior season, he wasn't as efficient, creating missed tackles and bigger type runs that he was as a junior. And just imagine if he had come out, just how much more excited people would have been. I think that's what happens when you're just a spreadsheet warrior and you're just thinking, well, you know, he's a four-year player and he really disappointed his senior season. You can't let that taint you too much because you are seeing some of that upside in what he did as a junior. So I'm kind of feeling my way out with Blake, but I have a hard time seeing him have being able to sustain a 60% opportunity share in the NFL. I think he'd be great for a 2-3 game burst where he can score you some decent fantasy points and be a starter for you. But I just have a hard time seeing him crack your lineups without really just landing in the ideal situation. I have a hard time seeing him consistently cracking your lineups for his career.
Yeah, I think for me, he's kind of just a bit of a boring pick because I think he's solid, he's reliable, you know, he's a natural runner, he's got great vision. I loved your comment about coach is going to love him because he does exactly what a coach is expecting. You know, he will get every ounce of a run play that is blocked well for him. You know, if a run play is blocked to get 4 yards, he'll get 4.5. Like, but he's probably not going to break it for 50. I think the size is a concern for me. The lack of athleticism. He gets caught from behind far too often. I don't see any sort of elite pop from him. And I just think he's like, yeah, he's all right. But I never really want, yeah, he's all right on my fantasy teams, quite frankly, because unless, as you said, he's going to be handed the ball a hell of a lot, he's not got that game-breaking potential to score me big fantasy points. And I think that he's probably going to be that 1B, number two in an offense where he might get some work, but I don't think he's ever going to be a lead back because I do have that size concern. I do have, you know, the passing ability. And I think that he's just not a player that I'm particularly excited to draft, quite frankly. So, yeah, I'm not a lover of Corum. And I think that he's one of these guys that I'd rather just let somebody else spend the draft pick if we're going to have to spend a second round rookie pick on him.
If I do have to draft him, and he does have one of those stretches where he is, you know, putting up RB2 type numbers, I'm trying to trade him for something else. Oh, like first, 100%. Like I think he's I don't ever recommend people to draft a player to trade him, but if he does start to really meet my upper end of my expectations early on in his career, I'd like to pivot off of that value. Well, because there are a lot of Blake Corum believers out there. There are a lot of people who really do like him. They think, and that's fine. Like, I'm not like criticizing them or anything, but I think there are people out there that are going to love Blake Corum because of just, he does what you want a running back to do as far as making the right play. The smart play, doesn't fumble the ball, doesn't turn the ball over. So I think he's more of a safe pick than a true, like what I think, I mean, I'd love to talk about this with you for an hour, but I think sometimes in fantasy we talk about risk, and I don't think there's the real risk of Blake Corum is that he's not exciting. That's the real risk. And I think that's the problem, is that I don't think he has the ceiling that people want him to have.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think he's potentially going to be one of those roster cloggers. You know, I always say that you can't have a roster clogger at running back because there's an injury and suddenly they're starting running back and they can get 20 carries. I feel like Blake Corum could be a roster clogger at running back because I don't think a team's ever going to give him that huge amount of workload. And I think like you're always just going to have to hold on to him just in case. And I don't know if, you know, you said 30 to 40% opportunity share guy, and that's kind of what I think. I think teams are going to keep him around because he does exactly what is expected of him. I think coaches are going to love him, but I just don't know. He's never going to do more than the kind of minimum of what you expect.
Yeah, I think we do. I don't want to like be too negative, but yeah, I think we agree on that.
Yeah. So someone that is a little bit more exciting, maybe not the reliability, shall we say, Jalen Wright, 5'11", 210 pounds, absolutely blew up the combine with electric 40. Are you a little bit more excited about Jalen Wright, despite the fact that he didn't get the workload of somebody like a Blake Corum?
No, and I'm not. And I think the biggest thing is that I have to tell people is that this is actually the first year I haven't watched the combine in 20 years. I remember being in middle school and loving the combine. I would get excited that it fell right during my school break. This was the first year I was like, you know, I know all the stats, I know what all the players did, but I was not because I found that combine can really hurt you in a lot of positions. I think it can get, it can double, essentially the combine double counts things. And I that's how I feel. And that's the in my history, like some of my biggest mistakes that I've made in fantasy, it's because I got overexcited. I was double counting combine type things. And I think, look, if you want to get excited about his 40 and like what he did at his size, go watch the Summer Olympics in 2024. I think that's stuff to get excited about. If you want to watch people running in tights, that's to do it. Now, if you want to watch a player who can handle a workload, who can score you fantasy points, score touchdowns, and handle the load at the NFL level, I don't think that's Jalen Wright. Nothing against you. Again, not trying to be super negative here. And he was fairly efficient at creating missed tackles at a small volume. But what happens is at heavier workloads, we consistently see players become less efficient. So yeah, he's good at creating, you know, longer runs and forcing missed tackles. But the second this type of player who can't handle that kind of workload, you'll see that efficiency decrease. And I think that's the classic type of player that Jalen Wright is. I'm shocked if I'd be shocked if he saw 10 touches a game in the NFL at any point in his career. Now I think he could have games where he's important. He's going to like, hey man, I wish I started Jalen Wright when I needed to, but I think it's going to be hard to know when to draft him. I'm not touching him before the fourth round of rookie drafts. That probably means I'm not going to get him because I have no idea what other people are valuing these players right now. But there's other players that we're going to talk about that I'd much rather one of my fantasy teams.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to sound like I'm just agreeing with you on every of these prospects, babe, but it's beginning to feel like that because I agree with you on Jalen Wright. Like I don't see the hype. I see, yes, home run speed and a guy that can score from anywhere on the field, but I don't see consistency. I think he's a great north-south runner, but if something gets in his way, if he has to change direction, if he has to slow his feet down, I don't see that ability. I think his jump cut is pathetic, quite frankly. And I'm talking about a guy that's going to be in the NFL, so maybe I need to soften that slightly. He's really stiff in the pass game. He's a terrible route runner. He's almost in that Derrick Henry mold of he's not going to add anything in the pass game other than stand there and try and throw the ball to him in space and hope that he catches it and then he can go north-south. He's not a guy that's going to, you know, break down a linebacker to create separation. I just don't like a lot. And then you go to the numbers. So I have 7 inputs into my rookie model. He's below average in 6 out of 7. The only one that he's above average is weight adjusted speed score. He comes in as a 50th percentile prospect, which the average points per game guys in the 50th to 60th percentile is 6.2 points per game. So yeah, I'm not excited about Jalen Wright, and I agree with you, he's just not a guy that I'm going to be drafting. I'll let somebody else chase that home run speed because I just don't think the talent and the versatility is there other than him running in a straight line very fast at his size.
So the thing is, what I see a player at that's at, you know, at 210 who runs that kind of speed and you're not getting the ball more at the college level, that's a red flag actually for me. I'm not actually excited about like, hey, what happens if you get more of workload in the NFL? Like, why didn't you? You're at Tennessee. Like, yeah, they had some, they're exciting. And my boy Hollywood, you know, on the Twitter sphere at the Hollywood Titan, don't want to say anything crappy about your team, but Tennessee. And like, like, why couldn't you do this? So that's kind of, it's actually a red flag for me that you didn't do more at that with that kind of athleticism.
Yeah, and no, I think that's a fantastic point. And, you know, you look at, you know, he said he can score from anywhere on the field, but 150 touches last year and he scored 4 touchdowns. So, yeah, not exactly a guy that was finding the end zone a lot.
You can't score on the NFL bench, I'll tell you that much.
we're gonna move on to a guy who it feels like you're either a lover or a hater. And there is no in-between at all on Braylon Allen. He is a big boy. He is 6'2", 245 pounds, out of Wisconsin, which we have seen plenty of NFL caliber running backs come out of Wisconsin over the years. So, Dave, are you a lover or are you a hater?
Look, I have to say, I have some bias. Anytime I have a young prospect comes out, I start to get excited. I don't know. I have some really weird age-adjusted bias. I don't even know what that even means, actually, now that I said that. But no, it's like, I'm like, oh, he's only 20 years old. Well, oh, man, look how, man, he's not going to be 25 for, like, so I start getting excited. You know, people aren't going to value him, start dinging him for his age. That being said, I would much rather take a Braylon Allen over some of the last couple play. Like, I'd rather take a Braylon Allen over Jalen Wright or Blake Corum for my rookie drafts. Now that's like looking outside of value and how people are taking him. He showed that he could at least put his hands around a football to catch the ball more in his final season. It was 28 catches or something. But the problem with when he was catching those 28 balls, he wasn't able to do anything because I think he's more of a, he's not a natural receiver. I think he doesn't truly meet my volume thresholds at 18 and a half touches per game throughout his career. Doesn't quite get to that 20 touch level where I'm like, okay, get me there. That's what I'm talking about. I'm worried that why I don't have a speed for him. Like, why aren't you testing I think that's like a little hesitant for a red flag here. And I think he's just average at forcing, making people miss or breaking tackles with power. But he is, I think, decent at creating some chunk plays. Now, is he a home run player? Probably not, but he can do some decent chunk plays as a runner, and he's efficient-ish. But I don't see him being a true. I'm a hard time seeing him break through my fantasy lineups consistently. I think he's one of those guys. I'm going to roster him because he's going to be on an NFL roster, and when he is in line for more touches, sure, I'll touch. I want that volume-related fantasy points, but ultimately, I don't think I was hoping for a Jonathan Taylor Light type player when I was thinking about him the last couple of years. And I just think he falls up short way short. I like him as a player. I like him more than some of the other players we've talked about recently, but I think he's not going to reach the levels that I would hope for.
Yeah. I think I really like Braylon Allen in this class. But for me, that's, in a normal class, he'd probably be my RB7, RB8. But he's probably going to end up being my RB3 in this class because there isn't that elite talent. And I think that I just have to keep reminding myself of that because I don't like him. I watch his film. There's a lot of negatives. And then I'm like, but he's my RB3. And it's because it's kind of the best of a bad bunch as such. His ability in space is, let's be honest, terrible. It's weird. He's a big guy. 245 pounds. He's powerful, yet his best ability is probably his jump cut and his ability to move sideways. And it's weird. You think that he's a big power back that should just be able to run between the tackles and bowl people over, but he tries to break to open space all the time. And then he's terrible in open space. He can't run anybody over. He can't, shift guys to be off balance so he can run through arm tackles. It's really weird, and I don't know if that's a massive issue at the next level or that's something that could quite easily be coached out, and you could convince me either way, to be quite frank. But lacks that elite speed, as you said, it concerns me because on tape I thought, okay, he's slow, but he's not like outrageously slow. And then the fact he's not testing, I'm like, okay, so maybe he is outrageously slow, it just didn't show up on film. I think in terms of frame, physicality, contact balance, like he ticks all those boxes. I think he could be, a good short yardage back, but he's a negative in the passing game. Yes, he caught over, 25, what was it, 28 catches this year. But you look at the ADOT, minus 2.4. So basically we're saying they were all checkdowns. Like there's nothing beyond the line of scrimmage there at all. So is his ceiling kind of Gus Edwards in terms of a number two back that can carry the rock, be good in short yardage, but doesn't really add anything to the passing game? Like I want to like Braylon Allen more. And I think there is a world where he could be a 40, maybe 40% opportunity share guy. Could he be the thunder to somebody else's lightning? Who's the lead back? Could he be the 1B to, I know this won't happen because Tajay Spears is on the same team, but to Tony Pollard, could he be the 1B to early career Austin Ekeler or something like that? A guy that's lighter, not going to get 25 touches a game, but might get 18. And then can Braylon Allen come in and get 10? So I think he's going to be a guy that's potentially got flex worthy potential and could maybe be an injury away from being an RB2. But I don't think he's got RB1 within his range of outcomes, even if you said he's the kind of lead back, superstar back, because I don't think he's got that breakaway speed, you know, high touchdown potential and receiving game work, basically.
Yeah, I think his ceiling in the NFL is an RB, or ceiling in fantasy is an RB2 player, and that's like in the ideal situation. And it's disappointing because, you know, you do see that, because we had, you know, the last couple of years it's been, oh man, only if this running back was bigger, and then we have actually a bigger running back, and then we're starting to dig him for things. So it's damned if you do, damned if you don't. But yeah, so I'm a little bit more excited. I actually think we're pretty much the same on Braylon Allen. I think you did it perfectly. So I just want to repeat what you were saying.
Perfectly. Well, we'll move on to the next guy out of USC. Another smaller back, well, shorter back, should we say? He's carrying enough weight. But Marshawn Lloyd, 5'9", 210 pounds. Are you a fan, or do you think that he's another one of these guys that's just kind of solid across the board, but nothing elite to really get excited about?
I'll be nice and say he's a depth RB and a special teams player at the NFL level. Not excited for fantasy. I had him at 220 pounds. I don't know if that we were just totally off, or but maybe I looked.
These are pre-combine okay, numbers. Yeah. So, I've got on here. So yeah.
But I think that he's fast and he has the size, and that's why people get excited. But again, a 10 touch player type player, the college level, who doesn't impress with his receiving ability or his touchdowns. He's average at create, you know, average efficiently at creating missed tackles and bigger runs. So like, I just don't. Okay. So he met yours for the spreadsheet warriors out there. And like, that's usually how I'm typecasted for the spreadsheet warriors out there. I get that he met your size thresholds for your ideal running back and he's fast. Okay. But that's it. That's all I got for you for Marshawn Lloyd. I'm sure he's a very nice gentleman. I hope wish him all the best in the NFL. But he will not be on my fantasy teams unless, you know, he's going to get drafted, and I'll draft any running back in the fourth round who's been drafted in the NFL. So that's how I kind of approach the fourth round of my rookie drafts.
Yeah, I think for me, I get he ran fast, but I think he's quicker than fast. I think his acceleration, his short area quickness is impressive, but I didn't think his top speed was elite. I've got on the screen here, jack of all trades. And I think I'm viewing that as a negative because I think he's kind of all right at everything, but not great at anything. And he wants you leaving more. And I think that's the kind of player that doesn't get a huge amount of usage at the next level, because a coach can't look at him and say, right, I'm going to hang my hat on. This is how I'm going to use him. He's kind of that guy that's like he'll make a roster because he's kind of good at everything. But in a short yardage situation, I'm going to use this back because he's bigger or more powerful. Or in passing game situations, I'm going to use this guy because he's a little bit more agile or explosive in space. Or I'm going to use this guy because he's more reliable in pass protection. Like, I don't know if he's ever going to be the guy at anything on an NFL field. So I fear he could be, as you said right at the top, he's going to be a career backup special teams guy. And yeah, I'm not excited about him. I also see on the screen I've got him as 223 years old. So maybe that's going to mess up your age adjusted production. Oh my gosh. As well.
Yeah, that was it. Actually, once I saw 223 years old, I was like, oh, screw that. No, you know what it is that he's the type of player where the idea, all right, and I understand the theory behind, hey, if you're that size and if you're that size and you're that fast, and then you luck into some volume at the NFL level, because that's what happens. You know, you're an injury. Everyone's like, every running back's an injury away, you know. But the thing is, this type of profile, when they're an injury away and then they get that, they're there, the NFL signs a player to that he's no longer an injury away. He's an injury away again because they're not going to rely on him for an extended stretch to help them win games.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, our final back we're going to talk about, Bucky Irving, 5'10", 195 pounds, out of Oregon. Explosive athleticism, but tested horrendously at the combine. I know, Dave, he's sub 200 pounds, so you're probably not even going to want to talk about this guy.
No, I see. This is what I'm talking about, man. Like, he's actually probably my RB. He's probably my second favorite running back out of the guys we're going to talk about today. Well, or third, you know, because it's tough to qualify Jonathan Brooks with his injury. But again, the NFL is going to tell us a lot. Like, if a team is excited to draft him and there's a nice situation for him where he's not asked to do things he can't do on the NFL level. He's not going to be a 18 touch guy. He just isn't going to be that kind of player. But if he's a, you know, 8 rush attempts or, and then 5 or 6 targets a game, that's exciting to me. And I think that's the player he can be. I don't, when you say horrendous athleticism, horrendous size adjusted athleticism, I think he's now what the people who like Bucky Irving are going to tell you is like, hey, why can't he be the next, what's the running backs for the Rams name? From Notre Dame.
Kyron Williams.
Yeah, Kyron Williams. Like, oh, you know, Kyron Williams did. Why can't Bucky Irving? Well, okay. That was like a once. That doesn't happen very often, what we've seen from Kyron Williams. That's a outlier, and I hate using the word outlier because I think it's overused. But I still think when you're telling me a guy who caught 50 balls in college, and if you're going to be drafted to a quarterback who likes to target the running backs, and, you know, a lot of landing spots, things check off for me, I'm excited because he's elusive. He can make big plays. And yeah, he only ran a 4.455, but 4.5, like he's still run. I do get a little, I understand why height or weight adjusted speed scores test well in models. I understand how that works and the R squared, or, you know, for the nerds out there, why it matters when you're doing a running back here, but speed is still speed. If you run at a certain speed, it doesn't matter how big you are. If that also makes, like, that's the counterpoint to that. So he runs at an adequate level speed, just not as fast as we like for his size, but, you know, over three receptions per game in a PPR format, he can be easily be a mid RB2 in the right situation and better, to be honest. I don't know. So I think that's what excites me. I think he makes good plays. The problem is that he's not going to be a big volume guy, and I understand why people don't like him, but I think in a different type of NFL where we're not even the best running backs aren't even getting a huge workloads. I understand why I think there should be a little bit more hype around Bucky Irving just because he didn't have a good height adjusted or wind adjusted speed score.
Yeah. I'm really struggling with Bucky Irving. From a Phil Gray perspective, he's my RB2. I love him. I think he's fantastic. You see the receiving usage. He's one of the few backs in this class that can line up out wide and run routes and be competent doing so. I think his athleticism to me popped off the screen on film, but then the combine had me completely shook because I'm like, this is a guy that, okay, I don't think is blazing fast, but he is so quick. And I think his short area quickness, that acceleration, he's naught to, you know, 50 is fantastic. And I was like, I didn't expect him to test incredibly, but I at least expected to test him to test okay. And it's got me concerned because I'm like, okay, do I now need to go back and watch the film and say, was I just kind of overemphasizing that athleticism? So he's on my list to go back and watch again because I'm a little bit confused what I see. But I think from an NFL perspective, at worst, he's a guy that's going to be a very good passing. I hate using third down back, but he's going to be a very good satellite back. And, you know, could he be, I know he's not going to go there because Austin Eckler's gone there, but the 1B to Brian Robinson, where Brian Robinson's probably not going to get used on those passing down situations. Bucky Irving comes in. And I think that sort of scenario could be his floor. But there is a world where he could also get some carries on top of that. And we've seen how many times over the years, Dave, you know, Duke Johnson, Deion Lewis, like some random passing down specialists become really useful fantasy assets because of the volume they can see in the passing game.
Look, I'm going to make fun of myself again here. Spreadsheet Warriors, we are living in the IBM we're living in like the 1980s of computers. For the NFL now, these scouts, and I know that they care about, like, there are some player teams that are still using combine data and what have you, but most of these scouts and most of these NFL front offices now, they're getting the tracking data from these chips of the NFL. They're dealing with that. So they know actually how athletic these kids are. The combine is more about interviews, and it's just more seeing the speed in person, like that, and seeing it in person and seeing how they carry themselves, and there's and other things. But we're behind the times when we're just using combine. I hate to poo-poo my, you know, spreadsheets and the combine and negative, but we're going to see, the NFL is going to tell us what they think about his athleticism because they have that chip data. He was a big time school. that is the, is that Argonne is a leader in analytics there, and they're using him. I'm telling you, like, I think Bucky Irving is a better player than what people are giving prep. I think the narrative that of people are like, oh, if you I can't believe I'm saying watch the tape as an analyst. What world am I living in here? But I think there's benefits of saying here, like, hey, your spreadsheets aren't telling you the truth, the whole story, and your arbitrary thresholds aren't telling the true story of Bucky Irving. So I think he's I'm excited. Keep discount. I don't know how NFL how other fantasy managers are treating him. I've tried to take myself out of how other people are valuing players, so I can say, like, I'm actually excited about him. If I can get him anywhere in the third round, I'd be excited. Now, if that can happen, I have no idea. Now, if I had to do it in the end of the second round, even more excited. Like, okay, if I have to do it there, sure. But with the running backs we've talked about, I'm more excited about Bucky Irving than I would have thought about. And 3 years ago, I would have told myself I was crazy right now.
Well, there you go. The world has clearly gone upside down. Dave's watching the film rather than relying on the spreadsheet. So we know something's gone wrong. But I think you've hit the nail on the head. I like Bucky Irving. I think it's going to be fascinating to see what the NFL tell us they think about him, because, as I said to you, I need to go back and watch tape, because I thought he was a far better athlete than what we saw on the combine, definitely. But that's it. Those are the running backs. We'll be back with some more deeper dive running backs in the Sleeper Show. We've got Matt Thornton come to join us for that, Dave. But thank you so much for your time. Remind everybody where can they find your lovely self.
Look, you're gonna find me at for Fantasy Cares. Now, that's where I'm doing most of my time now. Get excited for the Scott Fishbowl Podathon. Anyone who wants to get involved, who doesn't know about the Scott Fishbowl, it's a great charity tournament. It's a great networking time where you can meet, you know, all kinds of different fantasy players. There are going to be live drafts all over the world this year. And the Podathon is a huge fundraiser for the Podathon. They raise Toys for Tots and many other important charities, like I think it was we Down Syndrome charities. We do food pantries. We do different women in sports and different charities. Like, what Fantasy Cares is doing is what I'm passionate about in fantasy right now. And fantasy for me right now is about playing a sport or playing a game I love and being with people I love to be around. And that's what Fantasy Cares is all about bringing people together and raising money for charity. And if your leagues, you're doing this, you're in Dynasty League, you're commissioner, or you're getting ready to vote, or if you haven't voted yet on your upcoming rule changes, get a charity one league entry fee towards charity. That's my one request, because I know the listeners of Fantasy Extra, right? I have so much respect for what you guys are doing here. You guys are by far some of my favorite people. So I always excited to do this. I'm not doing content anymore, but when you invited me to come back on, I was like, I would not miss this, because I just get to talk to you, man. And I know it's just really, really love what you guys do on your channel. And I cannot believe you're only at 1,700. I thought you'd been at people. You guys are like a freaking 10,000 at least subscription type YouTube website for me, or the kind of content you guys are doing right now. And the way you guys touch so much. So it's an honor to be on here. Honor to talk to you in person, my friend. And I love the Fantasy. I'm not even just blowing smoke. I really do respect the Fantasy Sanctuary so much. So it's an honor to be on.
No, I really appreciate that, Dave. That means the world. And thank you so much for coming on. It's always one of my favorite shows to have you on every single year. And keep up the great work with Fantasy Cares. It is absolutely mind-blowing, the volume, the amount of people that you're touching and helping right across the globe. You know, we're hoping to have 4 drafts here in London this year. So it's an amazing thing. And can't wait to see the Podathon this year, because it's always a great show. But that is it. We will be back very shortly with the tight ends preview. And as I said, we've got the Sleeper Show coming up. And then, of course, we'll have some mock drafts dropped in as well. But we'll see you next week.